How many here are excited about God's Word?
Yeah.
All right. The study this month has been on ordinary people doing extraordinary things. And tonight's message is Gideon from zero to hero. Gideon from zero to hero. So if you've got a Bible, you can follow along here tonight. You know, now Gideon in the Old Testament was a judge. He was a judge. And the judges, what were the judges? The judges governed Israel from the time of Joshua's death to the beginning of the monarchy. In the vacuum that developed after Joshua's death, Israel didn't consistently follow Joshua's example of submission to God. Israel's history was a pattern of indifference, disobedience, defeat, domination, deliverance, and restored divine approval. And this pattern was repeated for centuries in the Old Testament after Joshua's death. So Gideon was one of the judges that God raised up to conquer one of Israel's enemies. So tonight, we're going to look at Judges chapter 6 and 7 in the Old Testament. Judges 6 and Judges 7. I'm going to read Judges 6 verses 1 through 24. Okay. And it says this in verse 1. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in the mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. Verse 4, they camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock in their tents like a swarm of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them from before you and gave you their land. I said to you, 'I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the God of the Amorites, in whose land you live,' but you have not listened to me. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites." Verse 12 of Joshua 6. "When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" And tonight God is saying to you that God is with you, mighty warrior. Verse 13, "But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "But Lord," Gideon asked, "how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." And you may be feeling like Gideon tonight. Gideon was suffering from a poor self-image, poor self-esteem. And this is what he says in verse 15. He says, "My clan is the weakest. I'm just your average Joe, God." And you might be feeling that way tonight. Maybe you have a damaged self-esteem or self-image. Maybe somebody as a child talked down upon you. Maybe somebody said that you were an accident going somewhere to happen. Maybe somebody told you that you were a mistake. Those words were from the devil, who is a liar and the father of lies. No birth is a mistake, in Jesus' name, right? So maybe you feel like Gideon tonight, where your self-esteem is really low, where your self-confidence is really low. And Gideon was probably thinking, "God, I'm just your average Joe. And you're going to use me to deliver Israel from the Midianites?" And God was saying what to Gideon? God was saying yes. In verse 16, what does God say to Gideon? "The Lord answered, 'I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together.'" That's awesome, isn't it? God said, "Gideon, I am with you." And God is telling you tonight, "I am with you." God is faithful. I'm here to tell you tonight that God has got your back. You are in the palm of God's hand. God has got something extraordinary for you to do. And tonight I want to talk to you about this. God has something that is out of the realm of the ordinary for you, something that is specifically extraordinary for you. Let me say it again. God has something that is out of the ordinary for you, something that is specifically extraordinary for your life. What did Paul write to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1:27? He writes this, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong." And tonight you may be thinking like Gideon, "God, I'm just your average Joe." But God is saying, go forward. I've got something extraordinary for you to do, something that is outside of your comfort zone. I will be with you. Go in my strength. I am backing you up. I have got your back. Amen? Yeah. You know, maybe God has for you to go beyond where you are financially today to maybe starting your own business. Maybe starting your own business is the extraordinary thing that God has got for your life. You know, maybe the extraordinary thing that God has got for you specifically is to become a nurse. Maybe to become a doctor. It's not out of the realm of the possible. Maybe He's got for you to be a dentist. Maybe the extraordinary thing that God has got for you is to teach His word, to preach the gospel to groups of people, to lay hands on the sick, to see them recover, to lay hands on the oppressed and to see them set free. Maybe the extraordinary thing that God has got for you is to write a book that will glorify Jesus Christ and advance the kingdom of God. And like Gideon, you might be thinking tonight, but God, I'm just your average Joe. How could you do any of these extraordinary things with my life? And like God told Gideon, He is saying it to you. I will be with you. Say it with me tonight. God is saying that He will be with me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Remember this. The scripture says in Luke 1:37 that nothing is impossible with God. The God that did it for Gideon thousands of years ago is the same God who can do it for you tonight. But even after God told Gideon in verse 16 that I will be with you, Gideon was not fully convinced that God was talking with him. And so Gideon proceeds to do what? He proceeds to ask God for confirmations that God was talking with him. So what does he say in verse 17 of Judges 6? Gideon replied, "If now I have found favor in your eyes," this is the first confirmation, "give me a sign that it is really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back and bring my offering and set it before you." And the Lord said, "I will wait until you return." Verse 19. Gideon went in, prepared a young goat, and from an ephah of flour, he made bread without yeast. Putting the meat in a basket and its broth in a pot, he brought them out and offered them to him under the yoke. Then the angel of God said to him, "Take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on the rock, and pour out the broth." And Gideon did so. With the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared out from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face." But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid, you're not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. That was the first confirmation from God to Gideon that He was speaking to him. He was confirming to Gideon that He was calling him to save the Israelites out of the hands of the Midianites. By doing what? By consuming the meat and the bread with fire. Isn't that awesome? That was the first confirmation that God gave to Gideon. But Gideon still wasn't quite convinced that God was talking with him. It seems like Gideon still wasn't quite convinced that God was calling him to deliver the Israelites from the hand of Midian. So he asked for another confirmation. Judges 6, verses 36 through 38. Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have promised, look, I will place a wool fleece on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the fleece and all the ground is dry, then I will know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said. And that's what happened. Gideon rose early the next day. He squeezed the fleece and wrung out the dew, a bowl full of water. Isn't this amazing? The second confirmation from God to Gideon that he was calling him to save the Israelites out of the hand of the Midianites. And so as I was reading this and studying Judges 6 and 7 over the last couple of days, few days, I kind of nicknamed Gideon what Thomas is nicknamed in the New Testament, Doubting Gideon. He had some doubts. He still fully wasn't convinced that God was calling him. So the third confirmation. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me." Verse 39, "Let me make just one more request. Allow me one more test with the fleece. This time, make the fleece dry and the ground covered with dew." That night, God did so. Only the fleece was dry. All the ground was covered with dew. Isn't that awesome? So God is trying to communicate to Gideon, "Gideon, I have called you." But Gideon continues to ask for confirmations. I call them little mini miracles, that God was truly speaking with him, that God was truly calling him to deliver Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And the final confirmation is this in Judges chapter 7. We see in Judges chapter 7 in the early verses that God takes down the fighting men with Gideon from 32,000 to 300. And so we go to Judges chapter 7 verse 8. "Now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley." Verse 9. "During that night, the Lord said to Gideon, 'Get up, go down against the camp, because I am going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they are saying. Afterward, you will be encouraged to attack the camp.' So he and Purah, his servant, went down to the outposts of the camp. The Midianites and Amalekites and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. The camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream." And this was probably a Midianite telling his friend this dream. "I had a dream," he was saying. "A round of loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed." His friend responded, "This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands." This was the fourth confirmation that God was giving to Gideon. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up, the Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." And if you read on in chapter 7, you find out that they defeated the Midianites. And so God gave Gideon how many confirmations that he was sending him? Four confirmations. Four, what I would call, mini miracles, that God was with him, God would protect him, that God is faithful, that he was in the palm of God's hand, that God would do it for him. He was going in the strength of Almighty God. And maybe tonight you are like doubting Gideon, friends. But I encourage you, now listen here, I encourage you to think back on the many miracles, the confirmations of God's grace in your life, the things that God did for you in the past. Let me say it again. Maybe tonight you are like a doubting Gideon in your life, doubting whether God is really calling you to do this extraordinary thing with your life. But I encourage you tonight, think back to the confirmations, to God's evidences of grace in your life in the past. The big things as well as the small good things that occurred in your past, friend, came from the hand of God. We all get excited about the big miracles, right? But guess what? Even in the little good things, it's God who did it for us. Think back to those miracles, those things that God did for you in your past, those many miracles. Remember this, that God, Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus never changes. God the Father is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. Amen?
Amen.
So, think back to some of the miracles that God did for you. Maybe it was at one point in the past that you needed money to pay utilities and the groceries. Maybe it was $100 worth of utilities or $200 worth of groceries. You were in desperate need at this point in the past, and God gave you the means to pay the utilities. He gave you the means to buy the groceries. Maybe He gave you extra work that week. Remember back. Think back to the good things God has done for you. Right? If God did it for you then, years ago, months ago, He can do it for you today. If God supernaturally provided you the finances back way when in your life, He can provide you the means to start a business today. If He's calling you to do that extraordinary thing in your life. You know, you might be making $10,000 or $15,000 a year right now. God can bring you to the point with your own business, if you're faithful and consistent, where you're making $35,000 or $40,000 a year. If God did miracles for you financially in the past, think back to the past financial miracles. It was God who did it. The same God can do it for you today. Could you say amen?
Amen.
Just like He did it four times for Gideon, four confirmations, four many miracles for Gideon, think back to the miracles God did for you now. Maybe God gave you the grace in the past to finish high school or to get a GED. That's a miracle in itself. He can give you the means right now to study and become a nurse, or a doctor, or a dentist, or to do something extraordinary with your life. God gave you the ability to finish high school if you finished. He gave you the ability to get that GED if you got a GED. And guess what? The same God who did it for you way back when is the same God who can do it for you in a bigger way today. Could you say amen?
Amen.
He's got something extraordinary specifically for your life. Is that good news?
Yes.
Remember, God never changes. The God who did miracles thousands of years ago is the same God that we serve today. The Jesus who did miracles over 2,000 years ago when He walked the streets of Israel is the same Jesus that can do miracles in your life in an extraordinary way in the here and now 2014. Do you agree tonight? All right. You know, if God gave you the wisdom, for instance, to share the gospel one-on-one, and you might be thinking, yeah, that was a miracle in my life because I was shy, you might be thinking. Or I was introverted, and it was hard for me to share the gospel one-on-one, but God gave me His grace, His miraculous grace, to share the gospel with others one-on-one. Guess what? The same God who gave you the grace and the ability to share His gospel one-on-one is the same God who could do it in a more extraordinary way in your life. It's the same God who can put you in front of groups of people to share the gospel and to teach His word. Is that making sense here tonight? So I encourage you tonight and in the days to come and in the weeks to come to think about the good things that have occurred in your life in the past. Those good things came from the hand of God because God is the author of good. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. He never changes. The God who did good for you in the past is the God who can do good for you in a bigger way in the future. Amen?
Amen.
All right. The God who healed you is the same God, say God healed you physically in some way, is the same God who can use you to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Is that good? Maybe you were struggling with an illness at some point in your past. I don't know what it is. You and God know what it is. And maybe God miraculously healed you. The same God who healed you physically, the same God who delivered you from demonic oppression or possession, is the same God today who can use you in a more extraordinary way for you to lay your hands on the sick and to see them recover. Could you say amen?
Amen.
It's the same God who could speak through your mouth the gospel and see the demon oppressed be set free. What does it say in Mark chapter 16 about believers in Jesus Christ? Mark 16, 17. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In My name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Remember back to high school, maybe when you wrote papers and maybe got good grades. The God who helped you write papers in high school, maybe helped you write papers in college, is the one who can give you his wisdom to write papers, to write a book, to do something extraordinary with your life. Did you know that God can give you the ability to write a book that'll glorify Jesus? God can give you his supernatural ability to write a book that will advance the kingdom of God. God can do extraordinary things in your life. Amen? Amen. Remember, it's on God. You go in the strength of God. Is that good news here tonight? And then in Judges chapter 7, we're closing it off here tonight. Judges chapter 7. I'm going to repeat it here. Verse 15. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, "Get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands." This "get up" was what? This was a response of what? It was a response of faith. After the four confirmations in Gideon's life, he was now fully convinced that God was going to give the Midianites into his hand. I mean, he was fully convinced in his faith. His faith became rock solid. He was wavering at first. He was insecure at first. He wasn't quite sure if God was speaking to him. He wasn't quite sure if God really was going to deliver Israel from the Midianites. But now, at this point, in Judges 7:15, he was absolutely convinced in faith that God would deliver the Israelites. Is that good news? He had strong faith in God. And that's the thing that God honors, is faith. Faith is a knowing that you know deep down on the inside that the God who told you that he can do extraordinary things with your life is the God who will do it. Amen? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Think back to the past good things that God has done for you. Get into the Word of God. Read the Word of God. Build up your faith so that it becomes strong and rock solid like Gideon's. Amen? Amen. I don't want to be a doubting Gideon. How about you? I want to be a Gideon who is rock solid in his faith in the Almighty God. Amen? And that's what God is looking for. God is looking for a doubtless faith. And this is where Gideon came to. Gideon came to a doubtless faith in the Almighty God that God would deliver the Israelites. And if you read the rest of Judges chapter 7, you find out that God did exactly that. Doesn't matter what somebody told you in the past. You start reading the Word of God. You start speaking God's Word over your life. That God has got a special plan. God has got a purpose. God has got a special destiny. God has got something extraordinary specifically that He wants to do with my life. Amen? Amen. Remember, it's not in your strength, right? And whose strength is it? You're going in whose strength? You're going in God's strength. He's got your back. You are in the palm of the hand of the Creator of the universe. Amen? Amen? Don't let anybody or anything tell you that you can't do it. With God, all things are possible. One last question. You've probably heard this before. If you've heard it before, don't answer. But where is the wealthiest place in the world? Where?
Kingdom of God.
Okay, kingdom of God. Anybody else?
Heart.
Heaven, your heart. Anybody else?
God's heart.
God's heart. The wealthiest place in the world. Let's get one or two more. Anybody else?
Monaco.
Where's that?
Monaco.
Monaco. Anybody else? Wall Street?
Sierra Leone.
Sierra Leone. You know where the wealthiest place in the world is?
Yeah.
Those are good answers. But the wealthiest place in the world is the graveyard. The graveyard has got a wealth of potential that was never tapped. People who lived on this earth and could have done extraordinary things with a great God that never did it. And maybe because their faith was weak. I don't know why it is. But there's a wealth of untapped potential in the graveyard. People who could have done extraordinary things for the kingdom of God that never did. I don't want to be another graveyard statistic. How about you? Say it with me tonight. I don't want to be another graveyard statistic. In Jesus' name. I am going to accomplish the extraordinary thing that God has for my life. In Jesus' name. I have faith in a big God. I honor God with my faith. And God will honor me with the thing He has for me. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.